It's cool story, cool story. The Wheel of Time, the ultimate fantasy. It's cool story, cool story.
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great, how are you?
I'm good.
We forgot something last episode.
We did. We forgot the wheel rating.
We forgot the wheel rating, so I wanted to get right into it.
How many?
1,000 lashes.
Did we do 5 or 10 wheels? That was what 5. I was trying to remember. We did do 5 wheels. Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So episode 2, I think I gave episode 1 4.5 wheels?
Let me see. I actually recorded it this time, and I'm going to keep it right at the top of my notes.
Oh.
Okay, so last week we both gave 4 wheels to episode 1.
Okay. Then I'm going to give episode 2 4.5 wheels.
Oh, interesting. I went in the other direction.
Oh, really? You thought episode 2 was less great than episode 1?
Yeah, for me. I gave it 3.5 wheels.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't wild about some of the additional characters. I wasn't as accepting of over, like, Rand and the mental ward or whatever as you were.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so now that that's settled, we're all good.
Phew. Okay, great. Well, I have just 2 quick things to mention about the show, which is that we've both watched all 4 episodes at this point, but at some point, in the first episode, Bale Doman, I'm trying to practice saying his name correctly now, mentions the moon dial in Kyrian being broken. And at some point, before we found out that Leandrin was, like, broken from her, like, seal, I was like, oh, the moon dial, that must be her seal.
Oh, Lanfear, you mean.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. What did I say?
Leandrin.
Oh, yeah, Lanfear. Yeah. So I had, like, a moment of, oh, my gosh, that must be what that is. And then it was. So. Unsurprising to everyone else, but I just wanted to point out that I had remembered something and had a cool idea.
I appreciate it. It's new to me.
And then somebody else pointed out the Alana's, like, conversation with Elaine and, like, not really having a good respect for boundaries. And they were like, they're just setting her up to, like, have a bad respect for boundaries later when she does what she does to Rand in the book that we are currently reading.
The idea of what it means to bond against someone's will. And how disrespectful that is. I don't know. I feel like I'm not sure what they're going to do in the show versus what they do in the books, because I also don't know how long this is going to last for. Like,
Yeah.
I don't know if I had anything else from the show that we missed. Well, you had more things, right?
The last thing I have was, so we know now in the show that Leandrin has a son.
Mm-hmm.
My brother was like, I wonder if that's going to be part of her motivation for having turned to the Black Aja, like healing him or keeping him alive or something like that.
I wonder. I actually had a theory about that as well.
Is it, it might be bunnies?
It is bunnies. My theory is that maybe she doesn't actually have a son and she's lying and this whole thing is like an illusion.
I don't think so. I don't like that.
Because isn't the way that she ultimately goes that, it, you know, what's her name? Nynaeve ultimately goes with Egwene later on. Isn't that the way she ultimately also followed Leandrin out of the tower?
Yes.
So what if...
Oh, the same way. I see what you mean. I don't know.
What if she created that whole thing to appeal to someone like Nynaeve? Just to get her to think, you know, what she was doing was her own agency and what we'll see later.
I would accept that more if we hadn't seen her, like, crying and being sad after Nynaeve left.
That's true. Because, you know what? I would like that better, to be honest. I'm not wild about her having a son. I like it.
I feel like it, because I feel like in the book, so much of it is just like, I went to the Dark One because I wanted power. But I feel like giving them more human motivations makes them much more real of characters. So I like it.
I like the idea, maybe for a different Red Aja. It just does not feel at all like it makes sense for Leandrin. But
interesting.
You know, hey, we all have our preferences.
Yeah. Well, should we start on episode 3?
Oh, wait, I have one new thing. One new thing I want to ask you about. Have you ever watched Only Murders in the Building?
No, I started it and didn't get immediately captured, but I know that it's really good and I need to go back to it.
I went back to it and rewatched through it with Davey up until like the most current episode. Mm-hmm. It's just so light and fun. And if you're looking for something that's just like really silly and doesn't take itself super seriously with like a lot of like random jokes,
yeah,
check it out. It's been a
mood
booster.
Silly and doesn't take itself seriously. Miles and I started watching that show you recommended, The Other Two.
Oh, how do you like it so far?
I like it. I mean, it's not like a laugh riot, but it's funny. And I enjoy the like cringiness of all of the characters. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, and there's a lot of random Bravo and Housewives throw-ins there that I just...
Like when they were like, I'm getting into this party. Tinsley Mortimer killed me.
That was the best when they walked by her on the red carpet. I could have passed out.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. That's all I had.
Okay. Episode 3. What's the title?
It is What Might Be.
Ooh. Okay. Ooh. Well, this episode opens with Nynaeve back at the Arches.
Mm-hmm. The Golden Arches. She's getting a number 6 spicy chicken.
Does McDonald's have spicy chicken?
Yes. Does any like fast food place not have spicy chicken?
Carl's Jr.
Are you kidding? They don't have a spicy chicken sandwich?
Well, it's not like nuggets. They might have like spicy chicken sandwich or something, but they don't have spicy
chicken.
Take nuggets.
It back. Anyway, she's at the Arches.
And I'm really... So... One of the things that I'm glad about in this book is, or this show, I should say, is I feel like Robert Jordan kind of did some of the Game of Thrones-y type stuff where he was like, oh, for no reason, these women have to have their boobs out in this scene. And I'm just glad they didn't do that in the show.
Yeah, they could have done the whole be naked kind of thing. But I think you get the same effect because Davey, who has not read the books, was watching this scene and he's like, when they just take her dress off and leave her in her... you know,
whatever
you call it. Davey was like, oh, they have to like undress? I was like, yeah. I'm like, actually in the books they're like naked. And he's like, oh God, I'm glad they didn't. Yeah.
There's a scene, I won't spoil, this doesn't spoil anything plot-wise, but there's a scene like later in the books where you sort of see like Aes Sedai voting on something, but before they vote, they all like undo the top of their dresses and like whip their boobs out for absolutely no reason.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
Okay.
So before the opening, she does her whole accepted test basically.
Yes. Okay. It's so funny because I was watching the episode and I was like taking notes and I was like, la, 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 la. And the whole, like, pretty much the whole thing happens, you know, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. And then I was like, wait, I feel like I've been watching for like 20 minutes and now I'm getting the open. Like, what's happening?
Yeah. They really, like, when the opening came on, I was like, oh, damn. I thought the show was half over.
Seriously.
So who's in the room with her before she goes in? It's Leandrin, Sheriam, and.
Leanne.
Okay. And she, you know, gets down. I like the way they did the arches. I mean, ultimately, I still like the old arches better.
Yeah.
But I do like the whole, like, you know, when they channel into the Tarangriel, it, like, glows past where the arches are broken, you know?
Yes, I agree. I like that,
too. That was cool. And I thought that the way they presented the opening of the accepted test and stuff, like the seriousness of bringing her down there and the ceremonial aspect of it, how they all kind of like were very stone-faced about it. I thought it was all accurate to the book.
Yeah, I agree. You know?
So in the books, do we see Nynaeve's? We don't see Nynaeve's accepted test in this much detail, do we?
We do. We see hers and Egwene's, but we never see Elaine's.
Okay, I remember Egwene's being... Okay, so here's what I remember, if I'm not mistaken, from the book. Nynaeve's first arch is, like, fighting someone in, like, a maze. Like, one of the bad...
Yes.
The Forsaken.
It's, like, I can't remember if it's Agenor or Balthamel, but it's one
of
those
one of them,
two.
Right? And she's unable to overcome them, and then she has to run towards the arch. And then...
Yeah.
The second one, I know
the second one is
Two Rivers.
Is similar. Yeah, so it's another nasty wisdom, so it's similar to the episode.
And then the last one is with Lan, but it's, isn't it more like current time? Isn't she already fast forwarded to like a perfect life with Lan?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, we don't see what we see in the show, which is like that it's years and years.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like in the future, she's like Queen of Melchior or something like that, as I recall.
Okay. Okay. And right. That is coming to me. Because, you know, I keep mixing up her third arch with, I think, Egwene's third arch. Okay, so she's Queen of Melchior in the book, and then she's like with Lan, and she, if I remember correctly, at one point sees the arch, but it's kind of like misty, and she can't quite get to it in time, and it goes away.
Yeah, yeah.
And then later, oh, I remember. Okay, she's the one with the thorns, right? The thorns that grow all over her and into her body, and she has to channel.
I think that's Moiraine's accepted test. Or Moiraine's Aes Sedai test.
Oh, okay. I thought...
And there's spiders, and she's setting fire to them, but the thorny branches are catching fire.
Oh, I thought there was something with thorns, because I remember in the books, doesn't Nynaeve come out of the arches with thorns in her hands?
She might have cuts or something.
Maybe I'm mistaken. Okay, well, anyway. So, in the show, it's a little different, all of it.
Yes.
For...
Okay. I finally found the quick summary of the chapter. So,
okay.
Yes, the first one, she is channeling against Aghanor. She's naked. She's running. She finds her way through the maze and steps through the arch. Second one, Two Rivers. There's the new wisdom who turns out to be like a mean bully.
Yeah.
Oh, and she is using poison to kill people. And Marin Alvear says that the wisdom has murdered her husband, among other things. And, but before she can do anything to save anyone, she has to go back through the arch. And then the third one, she's in Melchior with Lan, Nynaeve. They have children together. Lan is worried about her, and she sees the arch and sets out for it. She's tempted to stay, but she steps through the arch, Lan saying, please don't leave. Wait, Blackthorns. I guess you're right. There are thorns for Nynaeve in the first one, where she's running through the maze.
Okay, because I remember thorns. I don't remember why, but I remember her... I thought they were, like, growing around her, and then she did some sort of, like, channeling and got away. But I think I am mixing it up with something. Because I remember she comes through, and she had some sort of thorns in her hands, or on her hands. And whoever was with her in the accepted, like whichever Aes Sedai kind of was like, that's kind of weird.
Like, oh, you know what?
With cuts, but not with like a thing.
Yeah, it is her third test. So she must like stumble through bushes to get to it or something. Yeah. Okay. So there we go. Those are her three tests.
Okay. And in the show, her first test is more, she's transported back in time to like what might be real.
Her childhood.
But we don't know. Yeah. And she's a kid with her mom and dad.
Yeah.
Beryan, her dad is Beryan or Beryan, and her mom is Elnor in the show.
Yes.
Are they the same? Are they ever referenced really in the books?
They're never named in the books, no.
Okay. I like the names.
Yeah.
Interesting seeing Nynaeve as a kid and this whole scene. It's a throwback to what they say in the first season, right? Where they say how her dad put her in the basement and told her like this sort of thing to repeat to herself to make her be brave.
Yes. Yes.
And in this, she has an opportunity to maybe go up there and help or go through the arches. And she's, you know, we see at the beginning that when she looks in their reflection, she sees a little girl. So it's Nynaeve to us, but she's kind of just in a little girl body kind of, right?
Yes.
And she runs through the arch, and it's really sad. She sees her mom's eye through the hole in the ground.
Cellar.
That was very sad.
And she's screaming. That was sad.
Yeah. And this is the first time she comes through the arch. She has the wounds because she was stabbed, or she was hit with an arrow or stabbed in some way. Or
stabbed,
yeah. So she's got the blood on her chest, and she's, like, freaking out. Was that real? And then I think it was Leandrin says something like, your pain
washed
is...
washed clean of your sins.
Oh, yeah. She says
yes.
Washed clean of your sins. It sounds a little shorter than it was in the book, if I'm not mistaken.
But yeah, I couldn't remember I think it's pretty close. I feel like there was the one thing that wasn't there. Sheriam didn't say be steadfast.
Oh, okay. I felt there was something missing. But it didn't, you know, something missing just because I knew it was missing. But I liked the little line that Leandrin says, something like, your pain is your own, don't burden us with it.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
It was like, it's very severe, but it kind of feels like what the Aes Sedai would say.
Yeah, for sure.
And then the second test is similar to what I expected from the books. She goes through, and she's in the Two Rivers, and it's Tam is sick and has boils and all this stuff. In this one, they make a point to show that poison in every scene, though, right? In some
way. So in the first one, she is holding the poison.
As a kid, right? Just her dad
as a
catches
kid
her with it.
Yes, and her dad, like, washes it away and says that it's dangerous. And then in this one, it's, like, Natty Coffin is applying it to basically put people out of their misery because she can't heal their sickness.
Right, and then she's like, I'll heal them, and they're like, don't bother. No Aes Sedai's come. We've asked the tower. No one's come. You're the first one. And then she goes over and tries to do some sort of channeling and, of course, can't. And feels disappointed and has the moment where she could stay and comfort them or go back through the arches, and she chooses the arches, thinking she's going to, you know, make a plan. And as soon as she gets through the arches, she's, like, telling the Aes Sedai, okay, it's over. We're going to the Two Rivers.
Yeah.
We're going to Emmons Field. And they're like, yeah, no.
Yeah, no. That was so sad with Tam being like, how's Rand? Is he happy? Like, thanks for keeping him safe. And Egwene or Nynaeve having to lie to him, and then him being like, will you stay with me until the herbs take their effect? And she, like, abandons him.
Yeah, especially because she thinks he's dead, too. So she really thinks he's lying to him.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And then the last one, she goes through, and it's... This was kind of cool. Okay, so the first thing they do when she goes through the third arch is this little artistic thing, which I'm not sure how I feel about yet.
I tried to, like, pause and freeze. I want to see it in slow motion because they show some different things and some imagery from season one. Mm-hmm. But I can't quite figure out what all the things are.
Yeah, it's... From what I remember is flashes of Nynaeve scream in sort of a black abyss, floating. And
in a red dress.
In a red dress with, like, red sort of fabric flowing around her, different scenes, and sometimes she's screaming, sometimes she's holding her head. It's a very artistic, like, sort of madness kind of feeling, and with all the red, it makes me feel like it's more towards this, like, should I be Red Aja? I'm afraid I'm going to be Red Aja. Her fears about being an Aes Sedai, and, you know, because it's supposed to be your fears of the future, right? For the third arch. So I'm feeling like maybe that's what it is, but I don't really know what they're trying to do with this whole screaming red madness in the dark thing.
Yeah, but she does come out holding Lan's leather headband, and her hands are covered in blood. So I feel like the implication is that, like, either something she did or didn't do resulted in at least Lan's death, if not others.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I get that, but it's like, why didn't they... I guess, you know, dot, dot, dot. It's an interesting way to do that. And she comes out of there very bloody and feeling like, oh, my God, what did I just do? What did I just do? I can't remember. Why can't I remember? And they, you know, they wash her clean of her sins. Sheriam says, congratulations. Lyanna assures her, don't worry, it's not your blood. And she looks down at her hand and sees, you know, she probably has done something to Lan. And she freaks out. But Sheriam's like, chill. You're an Aes Sedai. You're accepted now. And comes over with a ring. And she's like, no, I don't want your damn ring. And basically, like, smacks it out of her hand and runs out of the room.
Yes.
And I was like, I kind of had an idea of what was happening here.
Yeah, because it was, like, so different and so quick. And
yeah. But Davey was like, oh, my God. So I was just, like, trying to bite my fingernails.
Yeah.
And then she runs up and finds Egwene, right? And says, you know, I'm out of here. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need me. You're fine by yourself. And I love you. And then she bounces and runs into Lan.
Yes, who rides in on a horse in slow motion.
Yes. Yes, with his hair flowing in the wind. And very Harlequin romance novel. Very. And he rushes to her. They have a soft embrace, and he says, Alana told me you were having your accepted test. She says, I couldn't do it. He says, where will you go? Let's run away together. La-di-da. And then, is this when we see the arch?
Yes, so it's like she vaguely hears Sheriam, the arch sort of like vaguely shows up behind her, and then we cut to Sheriam and Leandrin and Leanne seeing the archway go dark and Nynaeve not come through. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember if it's Sheriam or Leanne, says, Nynaeve Almira has made her choice.
Mm. And Sheriam chastises Leandrin for pushing her too quickly, and then we finally get the opening.
Yeah, exactly. 45 minutes into the episode.
Yes. Overall, yeah, I'm happy with the accepted test.
Yes, I am too. Well, especially when we see what happens later. But
yes, yes. Because again, when that happened, Davey was like, this can't be true. She's not dead. This can't be true. Because you've definitely not told me any spoilers, but you've definitely talked about Nynaeve.
Yeah.
Still. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, yeah. But I wonder, do you think people who don't watch the show really thought she was gone now?
Maybe. I don't know. I was kind of watching it going like, wait, what are they? How is this happening? What's going on?
Yeah. I had a feeling what was going on, but yeah. I was like, how long are they going to drag this out for, you know?
Yes. Also, somebody pointed out, like, are they going to do, like, a Nynaeve death fake-out thing in every season?
Oh, true.
Because they did that at the beginning of the first season, too.
Maybe she just needs a break after a few episodes. The actress, she's right. Like, it's a lot to be Nynaeve. She's a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we got her opening, and we
Where is the actual opening?
They cut it. They just cut it to this very... I think... It depends. I don't know. Maybe the runtime, they felt like it was more valuable to just have this quick thing. Some shows are really quick with it. What'd you say?
I said, I hope it comes back, though.
I kind of miss it. I liked all the threads and the like weaving
and stuff. The tapestry, yeah.
Yeah, maybe they're trying to like move away from like what other fantasy series have done. Go more Ozark direction.
So the next scene is with the Shanchen and Perrin.
Yeah.
And we get the like little 14-year-old Damani hunting for other channelers. And it is such a like chilling scene to me.
It is. The way she walks around, that actress, that girl. Yes. I don't know how old she is in real life. She 100% appears 14 on the dot.
Yes.
And the way she kind of walks around and like tilts her head and looks at everybody expressionless, it's very macabre and grim and dark. She almost floats. It looks like she almost floats, you know?
Yeah, it's funny because the makeup looks like tears to me. Like it really emphasizes a sadness about her face, but then her like facial expression is sort of like she really is like hunting, and it's very like eerie the way she like walks and points and does everything. It's
like spider-like, which kind of makes sense to me because the men's armor is so insect-like, and there's so many insect-like
themes,
aspects to their armor and stuff like that too, you know?
Yeah,
that was really dark. So she's like going over, so she is sensing just the glow around them, just a spark in them.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think she's just sensing other channelers that can be enslaved.
God, and they just grab them. Did you notice one was named Nana? I wonder if that was a nod to Nynaeve's fake
name. Nynaeve's character.
Yeah.
I really liked, then we get Alwyn's accent.
Oh, yes.
I loved it.
Obsessed with Alwyn's accent and affect and how she spoke that whole like you will take here's who we are, we're here to come take Arthur Hawkwing's land back kind of thing.
Yes,
very effective.
And I really, it's funny because there are some things that I feel like are so common in fantasy TV that like I posted this the other day watching the trailer where you see eventually Elaine and Egwene running from the Shanchen, and there's like palm trees around because they're in Falm and it's like tropical-ish or coastal.
Mm.
And I'm just like, I feel like fantasy is so often just like England that seeing a palm tree is so like out of what you expect. And hearing Alwyn have sort of like a Southern American accent And her, like, cadence and speech is so different from what you usually see in fantasy TV that it felt really disturbing.
Yeah, it was very disturbing. And just, like, that sort of emotionless but, like, very powerful.
Yeah.
In control, unaffected. Yes. Oh, just really cool. Really, really cool.
And also the fingernail swooshes mm-hmm. to give direction were excellent. I loved that. It was very creepy.
Yeah, it's. I couldn't have imagined it better the way they did this whole scene, even though it was terrible.
Yeah, I think the choices they've made so far with the Shanchen are perfection.
100%. You really feel like their threat level immediately.
Yes.
And they say, we're here to have everyone swear the oaths. So who will swear the oaths and who will be first? And because one of the guards, one of the soldiers, was kind of watching our group be a little scuffly about it, and Uno, mm-hmm. like, being his Uno self, he is volunteered to go first. And he kind of, like, fights his way off of guards. I thought they were going to kill him right there when he first, like, breaks Stabbed free somebody. Of the guards. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he, like, slices somebody, but they just put him right back on his place, put him right in front of the big palanquin, whatever you call it, and they say, will you say the oaths? And he spits.
Ugh.
And I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
And he says he will swear no oath. So they kick his knees to his, and he's on his knees, and they say, those who do not swear the oaths will have the oaths sworn for them. And everyone in the room says, like, what is it? To obey, to follow, to...
await and serve.
Serve. And I thought, wow, that's really pretty intense. And I thought, there we are, done. and I kind of was like, wow, guess they make you swear the oath. So it's like, you don't have a choice. Wow, that's kind of dark. And then, shall I say it or should you?
You go for it.
The Shanchan guards that are behind him grab Uno by the back of his head, and they kill him by smashing his mouth on an open spike that goes through his skull.
Yeah.
Oh, my mouth.
Oh, mine too.
I gasped. Thank God I was not holding a beverage. It would have been spilled all over the couch. I could not believe what I was watching.
Yeah, I was really, I mean, I saw the spike and I was like, ooh, that's gross. I wonder what that's all about. And then I was like, oh, I was not expecting that. And I was especially not expecting that for Uno.
I did not see the spike at all the first time. When I rewatched it, I could not take my eye off it, of course, the whole time. Yeah. Wow. And Uno's dead.
He's dead.
He's not dead in the books.
No. But it's okay. He doesn't really do a whole lot in the books besides, like, swear.
Yeah, so. But he's Uno.
I know.
Bummer. Okay. Wow. Oh, no.
And then we get all will bow. Yeah. And everyone bows. Blah.
Yeah, everyone does it. Even though Perrin is last. I'm like, Perrin,
I know. Down. Like, I'm like, Perrin, come on, dude.
Yeah, but he almost looks more mortified than defiant in that moment. Shell-shocked almost. And then we cut to, sharp turn to Rand and Loghain.
Yes.
Having a chat. And is this like when they, you know, they first, this is the scene we saw on Twitter ahead of time, basically.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Where he's like, when are you going to ask me what you want to ask me?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Rand leans over and is like, do you want a handy? And Loghain says, fine.
Sure.
But it's interesting. I feel like this scene, like Loghain is like, you know, I'll tell you what you want to know, but first you have to get me some good wine.
Mm-hmm.
But I like how it's interesting. Loghain says that he can see a glow around men who can channel, which is true for women channelers in the books, mm-hmm. but not true for men in the books. So I'm interested if they just made that true so that it's consistent.
Hmm.
Because in the books, the reason he laughs at Rand when he's in Tarvalon is because he can see Taviren, and he sees, like, how powerful of a Taviren Rand is. And so it's just kind of interesting that they made that change.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that. I don't think I really knew one way or the other. I think I assumed that men could see something around other men and they could channel. But they could just see them.
No. They kind of, like, see the weaves and sense the channeling and all that, but they don't really see the...
Hmm.
The same glow.
Like the glow, the spark, or whatever.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I don't know. Maybe they're going to just add it in just to not confuse people.
Yeah. We see a Gleeman for a minute in the Foregate.
Oh, yeah, which made me think, is there going to be a return of Tom at some point? Are there just...
not in this season.
Damn. I mean, I guess it makes sense. He is gone for a minute.
Yeah.
But I feel like we got so little of him before he was gone last season.
It's true. Well, he was literally in like half of an episode.
Yeah. I guess it's just it'll be a big return.
Yeah.
But yeah, we do. I noticed the Gleeman and the coat was the dead giveaway.
Yes. And
this is because we learned that everyone is in town for the gathering of the Hunters of the Horn.
Yes, because the queen has announced that she'll give half her fortune to whoever returns with the horn.
Right, which is different, right?
Yes. Yeah, because the hunt for the horn is usually announced in Ilion, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I think it's just like glory in the book series.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's like, okay, I'll give you a fortune.
Right, right. Okay. I had a feeling this was... Yeah, well, we'll learn a little bit later on what they're doing with this, but... Yeah, so everyone is... There's a lot of activity. It's topsy-turvy day from Hunchback of Notre Dame in the middle. And then we're just walking through it with Rand and Celine. And
yes.
Rand chats with Celine about what it is, and she's like, okay, great. And she's going to help him get the wine he wants if he attends something with her, because that's where she's going to get it.
But first, we need to get you a better coat.
Oh, yeah. I love the coat.
Yeah, Rand's little red coat that he hates so much in the book series.
Yeah, I loved that little touch. When she said, I was like, I wonder what he's going to be wearing when she said that. And I loved that it was like the red coat with all the filigree and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Then we cut to Egwene and Elaine. And they're talking. They're about to go check on Nynaeve. And she's not answering the door. And when they burst in...
Hold on. I have to say two things first. Number one, I love that Egwene is hungover from drinking hard liquor with Elaine. And Elaine's, like, fine. So she, apparently is used to drinking her hard liquor. But also, I love that when she knocks on Nynaeve's door, she calls her Nye. I was like, oh my gosh, a nickname. How sweet.
That is cute. I also thought it was weird. Like, you're knocking on the door. Sherriam's in there. She could have been like, go away.
Hello. Yeah.
Or something. She just lets her knock on the door. So they go inside and it's, you know, it's grim. And she says to her, you know, I'm not being cruel, but out of respect for you, I'll tell you plainly that Nynaeve is dead.
Yeah.
She didn't come through the accepted test. And it's like.
Have a nice day.
Yeah. And she's like, you know, the pain will pass over time. Take your time, but basically not too much. And she leaves. And then, you know, Egwene is heartbroken, of course, and can't believe it. And Elaine tries to kind of do her Elaine thing, which is to say, this is how it goes. I know it's hard, buddy. And
yeah,
Egwene is like, get the fuck out.
Right. I love how she's like, I don't even know you. Get the fuck out of my room.
Yeah. Oh, I felt that was really sad, even though I knew Nynaeve was not dead. It was no way. I still felt like that anguish for her, you know?
Yeah.
Then
Leandrin with Matt, and she's setting Matt free. And here's what's interesting to me. Part of me wonders if Nynaeve hadn't died in Leandrin's mind at this moment, do you think she would have changed? Like, do you think that changed her plans at all? Because it feels like she's like been impacted by Nynaeve not coming through the arches and is sort of like, what, nothing matters anymore, goodbye, get out, whatever.
I think she was faking it. I think she just used it as a red herring. I think she would have come up with a different reason, or maybe her timing would have been different, but I think her plan was ultimately the same.
The other wild thing is she didn't even tell Matt that Nynaeve died.
Yeah, true.
She was just like, I don't need you anymore, goodbye.
Well, because she has that purpose, and maybe that would have changed what Matt's decision would have been, maybe.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah, that's fair.
So she you know, opens the door and says, you're free, you're useless, you know.
Oh, my God.
I lost somebody, and, you know.
She fully, goes Electra on Pose and, like, reads Matt for filth and, like, breaks him down to nothing and makes him cry before leaving.
Yeah, he basically is like, why are you doing this? And she calls him, I wrote down some of the quotes, stupid, desperate, coward, wallowing in self-pity.
And then something about how, like, you bring nothing but, like, harm and misery to those around you. Like, you're more than useless. You hurt those around you.
Yeah, and basically your presence is a burden that I'm tired of.
Yeah. I was wondering, like, her kind of, like, deadpan... See, here's my thinking. I think she does think Nynaeve is dead. I don't know if it changed her plans with Matt, but I think her attitude in all of these scenes is, I think she thinks she has failed in her mission. Whatever her mission is with Nynaeve, I think is, of course, directed by the Black Aja. And so I think she thinks she's going to be killed because she failed in some regard with Nynaeve.
I agree. I do agree with that, for sure. I think she definitely 100% thinks she killed, she led to Nynaeve's death, and that that's coloring what she's doing. I just think that she used that as the reason she was letting Matt go, but she was going to let him go no matter what.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? But I totally agree. You could tell she's feeling, it's not like, oh, I loved Nynaeve. You know, it's more like, I wanted to use her as a weapon.
Yeah.
And this was going to be the greatest weapon I can deliver to, you know, the Dark One or whatever.
Yeah.
But she hasn't. So so she lets him go.
Yes. He walks out. She walks out. And then he walks out. And then we cut to Leandrin putting Nynaeve's ring in the fiery thing.
Mm-hmm. And then Egwene sneaking up on her and confronting her at the on the edge of the, on the edge of glory. On the edge of the tower. Nynaeve, the Egwene, the stunt woman.
You're right.
She's at the edge. She comes over to, I kind of like this scene where she confronts Leandrin.
Yeah, and basically like says, you pushed my friend too hard and took her away from me.
Yeah, yeah. And she's very, you could tell she's completely motivated in the scene by her her anger, her feelings. And she's not really thinking about the consequences and who she's actually talking to. Because then as soon as Leandrin kind of like turns on her and she's like, oh, you're supposed to be the acceptable one, the one who follows the
smart
rules.
One. Yeah.
Yeah. And you could see she starts to feel more cowering in her stance and she's like backing up. And this is when Leandrin kind of like gets her towards the edge and you think she could fall to her death. And they pan out. Beautiful scene, though. Panning out over top of the tower. But she says that she, you know, gathers herself and says, you have no idea what I'm capable of. And shoulder checks her.
Yeah.
Which I think kind of satisfies Leandrin a little bit.
Yeah.
Like she's not happy about it, but she's like, because she's a fucking maniac. I like that scene.
Yeah. And I wonder, I wonder if she was supposed to deliver Nynaeve to the Seanchan. And in this little scene, she kind of sees potential in Egwene and is sort of like, okay, well, I lost this one, but maybe I'll redeem myself and can deliver Egwene instead.
Yeah, especially because she saw some sort of spark of attitude in her that she didn't expect.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, maybe she is malleable.
Yeah.
Maybe she doesn't follow the rules.
I liked the, it's not always the most powerful women who write history, it's the ones who survive line.
I did like that
That's
too.
Good. And then we cut to the dinner in Kyrian, which I'm obsessed with.
Yeah, there's sort of, it's like a noble house party, and it's very, okay, you've seen Labyrinth.
I've seen Labyrinth, and I've seen the Beauty and the Beast live action movie.
I love that. It's very the scene in Labyrinth when she's in the orb dancing with David Bowie and that masquerade ball.
I don't know if I've seen Labyrinth since I was like 8 years old, so I don't know that I know that scene off the top of my head. But
it's a hazy sort of effect the whole time, because there's a haze in the scene over the camera, like a golden sepia sort of effect to the whole room that makes it feel like almost
a little dreamy.
Dreamy and old, like antique-y. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll accept that. Yeah.
Yeah, like a weird slice of time.
Yes.
It's cool, though. I love the way they're all dressed. I love the hair that they all have. I love all the different, like, you could tell it's people from all over gathering. Yeah. And it's very much like we see a lot of Game of Houses type of vibes going on. I like it a lot. Very lavish.
I love it. I love the costuming. It's so good.
Ugh. And Rand is there with Celine trying to fit in his red number. Celine looks great.
She looks amazing. She's off to find the wine that Rand needs.
Yes.
And he gets chatted with by Anver.
Anver. And who she's like a fictional lady at this point, right?
Yeah, people think that maybe she's going to replace Colivir in the books.
Oh, got it.
And I loved this actress. I thought she was such a good actor. And I think my favorite part of her interaction with Rand, besides when he throws the invitation in the fire like he does in the books, I love that she is basically, here's the thing I can't really tell. I mean, I think I can tell. But I like how she basically tells him that the whole hunt for the horn thing is a farce. There is no reward. And it's basically just the nobility's way of getting rid of all the commoners that have kind of like overrun the Foregate. And she's like, oh, it's an elegant solution, really. I don't know if she thinks that it's like, I mean, if you look at it from the standpoint of like, oh, nobility want to get rid of peasants and like poor people, like that is an efficient way to do it. I'm wondering if she meant efficient when she said elegant, or does she really think that it's like a good, correct thing to do because peasants don't matter? But regardless, Rand, I love that Rand, this is like the beginning of when I think Rand is like ready to like hang and kill all kinds of noble people for thinking that peasants and poor people are below them.
Yeah, it was, I was like, oh, this is interesting. This is an interesting addition to the show, like what they're, how they're explaining this. It doesn't feel unlike something you would see in this world.
No, not at all.
You know, and I think it does get the point across. And I also, so the actress, her name is Lindsay Duncan.
Yes.
I kept thinking, like, I know her from something. I know her from something. I don't know what I know her from, because when I look her up, I see her in a gajillion things.
Yeah, she's very prolific.
Yeah, many I've seen, but I'm not picturing her from any of them. Maybe it's Birdman. Maybe it's the Tim Burton Alice in Wonderland. She's been in many better things than that. But, oh, Sherlock.
Oh, okay. I never saw Sherlock. I know I need to.
Oh, you would really like it. I've only seen the first two seasons, but it was great. But that's what I recognize her from. Oh, she was great. And I thought, oh, she's such a great actress for such a throwaway character. We'll see more of her. So, I really like the scene. The burning of the letter was so a throwback to the book and how Rand handles Game of Houses things.
Right.
I liked that a lot, that moment. And she's like, ooh, does it really have the houses talking?
Yeah.
I thought that was a little cornball. Like, that moment was very fan service. That quote, this will really have the houses talking. Because I feel like that's nothing anyone would say. Like that phrase.
Maybe. But I liked it.
I liked it for me.
Right. And I think my favorite part is when Celine comes up next and Lady Anvers is like, I don't believe we've been introduced. And she fully mean girls her and is like, I don't believe we have. And then like walks away.
Ta-ta. Yeah, exactly. is this when the fireworks happen? Oh, no. Oh, okay. This is when Rand confronts Celine about the plan.
Yeah, he like gets the wine and he's going to leave and she's like, don't leave. And she gets super pissed that he leaves her at the party to go, you know, bring the wine to Loghain.
Yeah. And she's like, you're going to leave before the fireworks, because I like that they're introducing fireworks and maybe illuminators later on. Mm-hmm. Rand goes to Loghain with the wine and he's like, I got you the wine. So tell me, how do you control this? How do you stop it? And he tells, oh, you can't.
Yeah, basically, I didn't really make this connection at first, but I forgot kind of Rand at this point in the book series is like, I don't ever want to channel again. Like, how do I stop myself from doing it? And Loghain is like, you can't. That's like who you are.
Yeah. So he's like, why did I get all this wine for you? And he's like, because of this. And he's pouring it and then he completely wastes all of it, spilling like a madman spilling the wine that he just, like, you know, went through all this trouble to get for him all over the place. And he says that he's the dragon.
You're right. He says, I have the voice of Luthien in my head.
Yeah. And I'm like, bitch, you're not the fucking dragon.
Right.
What does he hear?
You don't know what you're talking about.
Madness?
I'm assuming, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, we saw what he hears. We saw him hearing weird voices that were like manifested last year.
Yes, little shadow people.
Yes, yes. Little squiggly shadow people. Then we see
Rand almost kiss Loghain before the scene ends, and then we cut back to Matt.
Yeah, and he comes upon from a small distance Egwene crying in like a courtyard, and this was a little cornball for me. Like, he sees her crying, but he doesn't go to her, probably because he's just got berated and thinks she doesn't want to see him, and you know, he thinks they've forgotten about him from Leandrin's tricks. So he just, like, bolts in the other direction right before Egwene looks up.
I liked this, and I thought it was more about, you know, Leandrin saying, like, you just hurt the people around you. And so I don't think it was like, oh, they've forgotten about you, so he was hurt. I think it was a preventing himself from talking to her because he only causes harm to the people around him.
Yeah, but I was thinking, like, they hate him now. Like, they haven't mentioned you in the letters. They only care about getting together with them. And at the end of the day, you abandoned them. They didn't abandon you, and they know it. So, F you. And then he says, like, and then Leandrin says to him, like, Egwene is here. Talk to her if she wants to see you. I get it, but I just thought it was, like, he was not that far away. I wish it was done a little bit more nuanced, like, than him just standing in full... Anyway, I just thought it was a little cornball on the nose. But he darts away, and then Nynaeve... because, you know, whatever. And he goes back to his cell, and Min pops in to his room because he's asked her to come over. And he's like, but I'm going to stay. And she's like, well, I'm out of here, so... I don't care what you do. And he's like, okay, I'll follow you. I like their relationship right here.
I love it.
Yeah. But I'll talk more about this later.
Okay, great.
Because I have very strong feelings.
I was wondering if this was going to be what your feelings were about in episode 4.
Beyond. Yep. then we cut to Perrin, and he's imprisoned in a carriage on his way to Falm. And Ishmael's in there with him. Fun.
Yes. Flirting with him.
Yes. Perrin on a first date with Ishmael. Not going great. It's very awkward.
No, I like how Ishmael says, I want to meet the monster.
Yes. So he tells him, I want to meet the monster. He says, what's inside of you is, you know, you're a monster, and that the more wolf you are, the more you're mine. Is that true? Or is that just to make him scared?
I think more to make him scared, but I'm wondering, remember we meet that one wolf dude in probably the second book, the third book, I think,
in
who
the
has like lost himself.
Yeah.
I think he's sort of trying to encourage Perrin in that direction of like losing himself to the music the moment you own it, you never let it go. I don't know if I got the lyrics there right at all.
I liked it, though. I like that Perrin is, entering a rap battle.
Yes.
Perrin, the amateur
palms
rapper.
Are sweaty. Mom's spaghetti.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I thought... And remind me, in the books, that guy that's in the cage, he's just kind of, like, gone mad. He's not, like, wolf-looking.
He's not wolf-looking, but he's wolf-acting.
Yeah, okay. Hate you. Okay, so he basically is, you know, scared shitless now. They have the little confrontation,
but then Elias saves him. Elias and the wolves save him.
Yes, because that's how they roll.
Yeah,
and he runs off with the wolves, which I liked. I'm like, okay, I'm liking this. Go be your wolf self. And then we cut to Min and Matt preparing to leave. You know, getting their horses ready. And Min's like, I'll be right back. She goes in the other room, in her whatever, to get her stuff. And Leandrin's in there. And I'm like, oh, this is like Leandrin catching her escaping. Because we heard that, you know, the reason she's there is because Aes Sedai like to study her and use her. But she says to her, basically, good job. Everything went along swimmingly. Matt took the bait. And you know where to go. You know where you're taking him. And if you do... then you'll never have to serve Moiraine and her twisted use of you again. Thoughts?
I was like, what's happening? But then it's explained more in the next episode, and I was okay with the explanation. Okay.
At this moment, before the next episode, what were you feeling?
I was like, oh, I mean, to me, it's very clear that Leandrin is manipulating Min.
Right.
I think there are people who are worried that, like, they've turned Min into a dark friend. I'm like, no, she's clearly, like, trying to get something and or being controlled by Leandrin.
I don't think they're dark-friending her up, but I think they're trying to make her a sympathetic character.
Yes, they're giving her actually things to do and, like, an interesting character because one of the consistent complaints of Min in the book series is that she doesn't really have a lot of her own stuff. She's just sort of there for the other characters. And so I like that they're developing her more in the TV show.
Yeah. I have mixed feelings. But at this point, I was like, I wasn't mad or upset. I was just like, what's going on? What is the real motivation here? What does she mean? Is she really that desperate to not be, quote unquote, used by Moiraine? What is this like? I was just like, let's see what materializes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I definitely feel like, for now, I'm okay.
Okay, great.
Okay, so I was wondering. Okay, so then we cut to Rand and Celine in a really toxic scene.
Oh, my God. This scene was everything. I was obsessed with Celine's acting, where Rand goes to kiss her and she like fully like body slams him and chokes him and does the most insane eyes and head tilt at him and is like, if you ever leave me again, I will kill you.
Oh, 100%. It's like Celine the sociopath. 100%.
Yes, it's just so perfect.
This actress not only is just looking the part, obviously, but she is just killing it.
Absolutely killing it. Like, it's so good. It's so, so good. And she has a moment in the fourth episode that I'm obsessed... Well, a couple moments in the fourth episode I'm obsessed with, but same. One in particular.
But this is, like, this...
But her, like...
dangerous. They are not good for each other.
No.
Sex scene. And is this what he embrace? Like, he embraces the source during sex?
Yeah, he's, like, banging and accidentally starts channeling, but then he sort of, like, wakes up and accidentally sets the inn on fire. So my theory of what's happening here is this is Teleron Riad and Lanfear is controlling what's happening to him.
Oh, I should have paused and checked. I'll check next episode to see if it reveals that, because the show does reveal that a lot of the time. Because I thought to myself, she knows he can't control his power, and that it's... you know, swayed sometimes by his emotional state. And I bet she thought getting him all revved up is going to get him to a state where he can't control himself and something's going to happen.
Yes. Yeah.
And it does. I mean, he's burning down the inn. He wakes up and he releases.
He basically has a nocturnal emission of channeling.
Yes, and he burns down the Crescent Inn that Lanfear... I'm sorry, that's Celine...
It's a big oopsie daisy.
Yeah, that Celine owns. And I'm like, okay, we'll see what happens with that. We get a scene of Egwene channeling at the arch to no avail, trying to, you know, save her friend. And Elaine shows up and is like, you're doing it wrong.
It's Leviosa, not Leviosa.
So bad, yes. She's like, it doesn't work that way. Many have tried. And she's like, I don't care. I'm going to try.
That was actually not in the opposite direction of a Donald Trump impression that you were just doing.
God,
there.
I don't know. I'm sorry, Elaine. But it's very sweet. She's like, okay, well, you know, it's not going to work, but we'll stay here all night. I don't care. I'll stay with you. And
I like how she acknowledged friends and lovers.
Is that what she said?
Yeah, she said many have tried to save friends and lovers over the years.
I love that.
Yeah, cute.
We cut back to Nynaeve in her fantasy world, and it's time has passed. She's got a child, a daughter, a grown child. She has
eight.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, she's married to Lan, who's very domestic.
Jesus, my brother referred to him as Jesus Lan with his hair.
Oh yes, this is very Jesus Lan. Yeah, I totally agree with that. With his hair and also the styling of his clothes, it's very like. Come with me, people.
Yes. I love that Matt shows up looking like a lord, and he's so cute.
He is very cute, and it's like very, you know, rascally and very not how we've been able to see him for a while. And
yes.
Same with Perrin.
I feel like every minute that I see the new Matt on screen, I fall more in love with him. I think he's so perfect.
Me too. I agree. Yeah. The more I see him, the more it's perfect. I agree. And Egwene, we hear that Egwene is a green sister now in the tower. I wonder if Egwene will be a green sister. Da, da, da. I'm curious. And then, you know, everything is idyllic. We know it's not going to last.
Well, she says, Egwene has been sent north to Saldea with the other Green Sisters because Trollocs have invaded. And, you know, Nynaeve is sort of like, that's not... And Lan says, oh, that's a far, far away. But Nynaeve is like, that's not so far. Yeah. So I think this is interesting. This is sort of like Mirror World-y where it seems like the... by stepping off of the path that she's on, that the forces of the Dark One have succeeded much more greatly and have been able to invade and conquer a lot of the world so far. And as we see momentarily, make it to the Two Rivers and attack this group.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That's so true. Like, her not doing what she was the other way, how it could have gone, so it does go, whatever... That's so interesting. Mm-hmm. Her absence, whether Egwene becomes green in the books or not, I don't know. But like, it's interesting to think that her absence would create a need for Egwene to be green, maybe.
Interesting.
Although, I don't know. Davey was just asking me the other day if any of the accepted in the show are an Aja yet. And I was like, no, not where we are in the books. And he was like, I wonder what they would be. And I was like, I think...
What's your guesses?
Egwene... Huh?
What are your guesses? I'm curious.
I don't know. Like, right now in the books, I feel like Egwene could... I don't know. I really still don't know a ton about the white and the gray.
That's fine.
Like, a lot. But I feel like it's more blue or green for me.
Okay.
For Egwene. For Egwene. And for Nynaeve, I feel like she's more... I mean, I think the obvious is yellow because of the healing, but if something tells me that's not... gonna happen because it's so obvious. And as far as Elaine, I feel like Elaine is like a sure shot for blue.
Okay,
but I don't know. But anyway, yeah, I was wondering, like, does this fantasy or other existence of Egwene being green, does that hint at anything, you know? Okay, but back to what you said. The Trollocs are attacking the Two Rivers here, and much like her parents did for her, Nynaeve puts her daughter in the basement and says, protect yourself with this, but do not come out.
Yes.
And it's very touching, like, you know, full circle moment. Where's the poison in this scene? Because she has to have poison in this, right?
I don't know.
She had it in the other two.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that it's there.
Any listeners, if you remember, I'm kind of curious, because I feel like it was there, but I don't remember. But anyway, she runs back outside to protect her friends, and she witnesses the Trollocs literally kill Matt, Perrin, and Lan.
Yes.
And of course, I knew where we were going with this. Her kid runs outside, and she's like, go back inside, and she's like, I'm scared. And then all of a sudden we see the misty sort of arch appear.
Yes.
So she sees all this happen and she's overcome with emotion because she has to protect her daughter who's outside now. And she channels like a big
sonic boom kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of similar to what it looked like when she healed everybody in the first season finale.
But yeah.
It's like this big boom and, you know, we know she's not supposed to be able to channel in Teleron Riad.
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry, in the arches, which maybe is Teleron Riad, but she does this, and after this we see the misty gate appear. Mm-hmm. And she's got her daughter in one direction, the gate in the other.
Welcome to the stage, Misty Gate.
Ooh, Misty Gate. Ruby Dagger and Misty Gate. She runs over, she grabs her daughter Elnor, named after her mother, and she runs through the arches. And she comes through the other side clutching nothing. And I'm glad it didn't, like, kill her or anything like that.
Right. Yeah, I'm glad that she didn't come through with a dead child in her arms. That would have been fucking gnarly.
Honestly, I thought they were... Based on what they showed with Una at the beginning of the episode, I really thought we were going to see, like, a really grim sort of, like, deterioration of the daughter, she went through. And I'm glad they did not do that.
Yeah.
But it's just as emotional because the actress, it's Zoe Robbins, right?
Yes.
She bursts through and she realizes she's holding nothing, and she just lets out this like guttural scream and falls to her knees at the realization that her daughter's gone and where she is. And Egwene and Elaine wake up and run to her.
Yeah.
And it's the end of the episode. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Great acting on Zoe Robbins' part.
Oh, my God. I was... my heart. Yeah. My heart broke for her.
I actually really liked the whole... You know, not necessarily like the death, Nynaeve death fake out thing, but I liked that she was in there for years because I feel like that really like amps up the trauma of what she's experienced here with like losing her years of her life and her family here.
Totally.
And also, I think this won't spoil, I'm not spoiling anything for you, but there was some foreshadowing in this episode that was pretty amazing. So when we get there in the books, I will point it out to you.
Ooh, I'm interested.
Yeah.
How? Okay.
How many
Do we
wheels?
Have any thoughts or questions or anything before we go to the wheels to wrap this up? I didn't have any lingering questions.
Okay.
I don't have any questions or thoughts. Do you have any feelings about the episode before we do our wheels?
No, I loved it.
I loved it, too. I thought this was better than last episode. How many wheels would you give this one?
I'm going to give it 4.75 wheels.
Ooh.
I would give it 5, but I want to reserve 5 for, like, I want to hold on to my 5.
Yeah, I'm in the same kind of world with you, holding on to my high scores.
Yes.
So I'm going to give it 4.25 wheels.
Okay.
Because so far it's my favorite episode of the three.
Yes.
And I... It left me dying for another week.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh, man. Well.
Okay.
Closing time?
Let's see. Which... give me one sec-a-roni. That was just really annoying.
One sec-a-roni.
Yeah. I might leave that in.
Please leave that in. I really want the audience to hear that.
Well, thank you for waiting a sec-a-roni, and now that we're back, if you'd like to help us grow, take a sec-a-roni, go and rate us or review our podcast on whatever you're listening to us on.
Boy, and also, you're probably really popular and have a lot of friends, and I'm sure that they would also like to listen to our podcast, so go tell them to.
And if you want to connect with us, because we love connecting with you, you can email us at coolstorypod@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and
X.
Instagram and Facebook at coolstorypod, on X or Twitter or whatever they're calling it. It's coolstorypod1. And check us out.
Yeah, and we have a Patreon, which is patreon.com/nandmatt, where we do bonus episodes and play games. So you should check that out as well.
And if you'd like a lower commitment level way to support us, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/nandmatt and buy us one.
Yeah, thanks for listening to Cool Story.
See you in a second, Roni.
Oh, God.
Bye.